And I just began to meditate on his might and his power, how wonderful he is, and how I thought to myself, I said, Lord, you have actually spoke with words the foundation of this earth. And you hold the heavens in your hand. And the thing that God is able to do, how he sustains our souls, the magnificence of God, the majesty of God. Sometimes you just got to sit back and wonder about his amazing grace and how wonderful God is. And today I just had that luxury. And I was up this morning. I watched the sun come up, and I thanked him for that. And I thanked him for the energy that I had. I thanked him even for the water that I drank this morning. That was so good. It's just good to have that at my disposal, that when he goes down, the water can go down with it. And he's in there doing some things on the inside of me. And then I begin to hear his voice, and that's just a blessing for me. It really just makes the day that much more wonderful. How awesome our God is. He's the Almighty God. Not the God, the Almighty God. There's none like him. Nowhere. There's nowhere. There's none like him. Nobody like him. Nobody can wake you up like that and start you on your way like that. When I can have so many things to complain about. But when you meditate on God, you don't have room for complaints. There's just no room. You just spend time glorifying him and magnifying him, and then thinking, if I can wrap my mind around his goodness. He's just awesome. Good in everything that he does. Good in everything that he says. Good. He's good all the way around. And he's always better than my last good. He gets better and better and sweeter and sweeter and bigger and bigger. And he's more awesome. He's that kind of God. And I tell you, after I thanked him for my strength to get up and just to speak to him, to sing his praises and to observe his handiwork. Did you look out the door this morning? Did you listen? I got a bird that's on a lamppost in my... He's on my street. He's in front of my house. And that same bird is out there every day singing the same song. But it gets sweeter every time you hear it. He sits there and he sings his heart out. I tell my wife, I think he's calling a woman. Singing like that. But he's not calling a woman. He's praising God. That's a magnificent, magnificent God that we serve.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
Jesus. Today, I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to take a break in Revelation. We were going to chapter 7. My heart was bent on it. But when the Holy Spirit says, you got to do what the Holy Spirit says. He won't anoint something that he didn't agree with. Hallelujah. And what he wants me to do is agree with him.
Amen.
And that's what I felt to do, is to follow his lead today. And today we want to talk about a pause for the cause. I want to explain this a little bit to you, and we're going to get more in depth in it when we get into the Word of God. But I felt that by the Holy Spirit's prompting that, see, sometimes we do things so often that sometimes we become too familiar with it. And as we're going through the book of Revelation, I want to say to you that I want to make sure, and I know God wants to make sure, that you are on board with where we're going. Because sometimes you can do things so often. And we've been in the book of Revelation almost two and a half months. And for some reason, every now and then, something will prompt an individual in their spirit or in their mind, and they'll say something like this, "Oh, Lord, here we go again." You know how we do. I wish Pastor go on to something else. That had nothing to do with me today. It has something to do with the body of Christ.
Amen.
In general. And see, sometimes we can come in sometime and we want something so individually wrapped that we will miss the picture. We'll miss what God is saying. And I felt that as the Holy Spirit was ministering to me to pause where we are, is that it will give us an opportunity to catch up where we may be missing it, or we may have got off track a little bit. And so this today is basically a reminder to all of us. And it's just something to shake us, because we can become so familiar that it won't have the value that it should. Amen. Could you turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and just keep it there? We're going to go somewhere else, but that's the gist of what we're doing right now. We're going to the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Just keep your finger there. We're not going to jump in it right now, but that's going to be our standoff point, our diving board for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for you're an awesome God. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for giving us the ability to worship, to be thankful, to give praises, to come into an atmosphere that we know you're in love with. Scripture tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people. And we thank you, Lord, that you enjoy as we praise you and analyze and give you all the glory. We appreciate your appreciation for us. And Lord, we thank you today that you give us strength to hear. Give us strength to endure. Father, even during the times in which we live, we thank you that you sustain us. Yes. In spite of everything that's going on around us, we still have the strength to give you glory. Yes. And we thank you for that. Lord, even in our times where we may get saddened and our hearts become heavy with the way and the direction of this country is going. But Lord, we thank you that in spite of the direction of this country, that we're still praising you. We give you all the glory. We acknowledge you as our source. We lift up the leadership of our nation today. We lift up leaders, Lord God, in government, leaders in schools, leaders, Lord God, in communities. We lift them up. Father, they will lead with righteousness. Yes. Father, that you would begin to give leaders God consciousness. Father, we pray for those who are overseas who are enduring such suffering, such hardship. We pray for the sister, Lord God, that is in jail for being a Christian, and who's just given birth this Tuesday. They said that after the baby was born that they were going to kill her just for being a Christian. But Father, we thank you that the prayers of the saints are being heard and she still lives. We thank you for the safety of not only her, we thank you for the safety of the child. We give you praise. We thank you, Father, for the women that were kidnapped, that they're finding ways to escape. Yeah. And that maybe more could be done. But, Father, we pray for them that more will be done. Yes. And Father, we know that they're a lot easier to find than a missing airplane. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we thank you that the same energy that it requires to search for a missing plane, that they would use the same energy to find missing women. God, we give you praise. We pray for that woman in Pakistan, Lord God, who, because she married a man that her family didn't agree with, they stoned her to death. The community stoned her to death. But Father, we thank you that you are, in your righteous way, bringing those to justice, those who participate in such horrific crimes. All over this world, Lord God, there are things that are just happening. We pray for the relatives of those, the mother and father that were slain by their son. Father, over an iPad. Father, restore righteousness to this nation. Begin to give us strength. Begin to strengthen leaders and community leaders and activists and all of those, Lord, who have a concern about their neighbor, about their brother and their sister. We thank you for that. We pray, Father, again for the father and mother of the young man who was just shot randomly, just going home. Father, we thank you for giving them peace and giving them strength. We thank you, Father. We thank you that even if we're living in a world gone mad, Father, we know that there's good news on the horizon. We thank you, Lord, that you see all, you know all, and nothing escapes your attention. We give you praise. Breathe on us. Breathe on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot going on in this world. Hallelujah. As we began our journey some months ago in the book of Revelation, we found this admonition. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. I want to say that there is a difference between listening and really hearing. The difference is this: when you listen, you pay attention. But when you hear, you receive what you hear. And what we have to move past is just casual listening or passive hearing. Amen. That is where we as the church have to get to. We have to get to that place. It implies the statement that Jesus spoke often of. He said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Jesus said that. We heard that again in the book of Revelation. That is an important statement, obviously, because there must be a higher level of hearing than just with the physical ear. There must be a hearing from the inside. There has to be some things that must be spoken that resonate from the inside out, not just in our physical hearing. The Holy Spirit said it a few times in the book of Revelation, and then Jesus taught it often. There must be a different kind of hearing. It takes more than physical ears to hear the voice of God. It requires a receptive heart. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, we read these words: today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today's message is simply pause for a cause, because we want to make sure that you're hearing with the intent of doing what you hear. Amen. I believe every church that honors God ought to take a little time to make sure that the congregation is just not coming to hear something and go home. Amen. Just hear and go home. You know what we have to get out of? We have to get out of getting dressed up on Sunday, coming to church, taking our dress-up clothes off, and enjoying the evening. Then we wait until next Sunday, dress up again, come to church, get home, take off our dress-up. It becomes habit. It's the way we do things. This is my schedule. This is the way I do it. There has to be something that goes on in between this visitation to the house of God. There has to be some equipping. There has to be some preparation. There has to be some dealing with yourself in between church gatherings. Church gatherings are for this reason: that in the meantime, in between time, in between coming to church, there should be some adjustments made in your personal life. I'm not talking about preparing what you're going to wear next week. I'm talking about preparing on the inside of you. The work has to begin where, when you do hear a word, as the word journeys through the congregation, you as a recipient of the word, you ought to journey with it. As we've been in the book of Revelation, I'm afraid to ask, what do you remember in chapter 2? What happened in chapter 1? See, because this is a lifeline to what is going to happen in the future. And if we are unsure of what the future holds, then when the time of panic comes, we will surely panic. If we're not following the word with the intent to agree with it or do it, we're no different than a person who walks past the church every Sunday while we walk in the church. No different. The difference between them and who walk by the church and those who walk in the church is that you have to sit down and hear what God is saying and choose, am I going to do it or not? And I know nobody in here plans on not doing the word. It's just that your schedule is so heavy of things to do that you just don't have time to make adjustments to the word for your life. Things happen when you begin to just do what we do by habit. Sometimes when we're going through this book of Revelation, as we journey, staleness comes in. Get stale. You know what I said. You hear something. You see what we as human beings are good at doing? When somebody tells us something for a while and we get to hearing it a lot, we believe that we already know it.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than talking to a person that finishes your sentence. Well, did you know that I was going? Oh, you said you was going there. Wait, I haven't said it yet. You know those kind of folk that finish it up before you. You haven't even finished yet. But they know what you're saying. What's the use of me telling you? See? That's not right. And so the spirit of familiarity will sit in. It is said that familiarity breeds contempt. You know what that means. I told my wife just now, it's like living with somebody and working with them. You know how you get to know something so much that now you don't respect it. That's what breeding with contempt. It means that when you get so used to something, no longer do you respect it. I've been your friend so long, but I don't respect you because I've been your friend that long. I'm familiar with you. With a thing, with a person, with a program, with a church, you can become so familiar and being in the area of people who you're familiar with so much that you will lose respect for it and respect for the people. Familiarity. And sometimes that happens when the word of God is being preached or taught. You see it often. You see people who wait for the pastor to hit a certain note because he hits that same note every service. And when he gets to that service and gets to that part in the sermon, the organ.
Yes, sir.
Tenet. And then the pastor who had been teaching all service all of a sudden goes off into a hoop.
Yes, sir.
Familiarity. People get real familiar. And they say, oh, pastor, get rid of hoop now. There's nothing wrong with that, but then there's nothing great about it either. Nothing great, because the object of the message is that you take what you've heard and walk with it.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. It's not about if you remember Pastor Hooped or not. It's not that you remember that Pastor did this or not, but did you take what Pastor spoke and had an intention of implementing it in your life?
Amen.
That's a dangerous thing. Because we are held accountable for the word that we do receive. So we have this lesson today simply because I don't want any of you to get lost on our journey through the book of Revelation. I cannot go through Revelation 7, 8, 9, or 10 knowing that you're not on board. You're just hearing. And a hearer is one thing, but you got to couple your hearing with doing. That is the way God has set this up. That is the only way that the word of God can become living in your life. This is a living word, but it lives in an obedient vessel. If you hear it and intend on doing it, then the word comes alive. Because the word of God knows you can't do it on your own. And so the strength lies in the word of God that dwells on the inside of you. It brings you life as it comes to life on the inside of you. Amen.
Amen.
It gives you life. Hallelujah. It gives you life. And the word of God works. But if you don't give it opportunity to work by putting it out there to see if it works. I had some experiences this week that were great experiences. And I went to a friend of mine passed, and I went to the wake, and I saw a lot of my old friends. You know, friends that grew up when you're like this. And they asked me for cards. Give us your card. I searched for my cards and didn't have any. But I did have CDs. With the address on them. And they're much better than the cards because these CDs speak. Cards don't speak. And so I was passing them out. And every time I passed by, somebody said, I didn't get one. Man, I went back to the car and I stopped pulling them out. I stopped giving everybody a CD. So they get a chance to hear the gospel. I had one, they say they'll be here. Oh, they'll come. Yeah. I had one lady that I met that she works over at the VA hospital. She said, Pastor, what if I brought some veterans from VA over here? We're going to catch a bus. We bring a bus over here. Would y'all receive us? And would y'all promise to give us some sandwiches?
Sure.
Give us something to eat. I say, you betcha. Yeah. Yes, indeed. I said, just call us in advance so that we can make preparation for you, so that we can make it right for you, you know? I would love to see them. See, let me tell you something about evangelism. If you're patient and you're searching and hunting and running after God, God will bring evangelism to you. He'll bring it to you where you can't falter. You see, you don't have to all the time go out there looking for somebody to witness to. Sometimes God will bring them right to you. And you have to be ready. You just got to be ready for it. Ready when it comes. And I thank God for that. And then I had an opportunity. I got a brother on my job who's, he's been asking me, you know, about the word. He started following me. I gave him one little snippet of Matthew 6. Just a slip. And ever since then, because I guess it settled an argument between him and somebody. I gave him a little snippet. He's been after me. When are you going to let me hear some more about Matthew? So the Lord impressed on my heart, just take him the New Testament and give it to him. He can hear it on tape. See, I don't play tapes that much now. You know, nobody does. And I wanted to make sure that he does have a tape player because they are the word of God on tape. And I gave that to him. See, that's evangelism. I don't know what that tape is going to do, but it fulfilled a need. He'll listen to it. He told me yesterday, I was listening to Matthew 6, and I kind of understand it now. Hearing the word. Now, I have all the confidence in the world that God prompted that whole situation so that he could hear the word with an intention of doing it. I believe he will. I believe it that because he can hear it now and understand it by hearing it, I can't go home with him and read the Bible to him. And he might not have the time to read his Bible, but he got time to flip that tape in. Listen to that. That's called making an adjustment.
Yes.
Adjust your life. And a lot of us have to adjust our life as we're in here. Is it warm to you? Am I hot again? Is it you? Somebody cut something on. Yeah. Anybody else need a fan? A little warm. Is that, what is that, air? Is it someone? Okay, we will bear it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've been journeying sometimes, and the staleness of spirit of familiarity will sit in. We don't want to get to that place. What place is that? That place, yes, when you become familiar, or when you just become a passive listener. You're listening, just words just fly past you. You hear them and they really don't have the impact. Thank you. You don't have the impact that it should have. Passive listener hears the word but has no intention of doing it. Just them having intention. That's a sad statement, but a lot of us can say, that's me. I'm not asking anybody to raise your hand. All you got to do is look back over your life. Look over the previous week. Look over the week before that. I'm just saying, be honest. Look back over your life and be honest with yourself. And ask yourself the question, have I intended to do what I heard? Have I made an effort to do what I heard? Or am I just rallying around a particular scripture that made me feel good? Sounded like good news to me. No, that happens to a lot of believers. The reason I say that is because in this generation we live in, there is an atmosphere of distraction. Every distraction that can take hold of a Christian has been loosed. It's easy to be distracted. Things come up and at the most inopportune time to distract you from the word of God. Distract you from what you planned in your mind, even in your heart. You planned what you wanted to do. You were going to spend time with God, spend time in the word. You had a specific word you wanted to get into. I need to get back into that and find out what that actually means. But then the distraction showed up. And then you said to yourself, I'll get back to it, but you never do. And the next thing you know, it's the next day. Same thing happened, then it's the next day. That's called drifting. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. When he says therefore, or for this reason, he's referring to the previous chapter, but we want to zero in on therefore. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or we should let them, or we should drift away. We ought to give a more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away. You hear what he says? Give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Pay close attention to the things we've heard. This is an admonition. He said, pay attention to what you've heard. And he's saying, if you don't pay attention to what you've heard, you will drift away. Drifting away is a nautical term. It's a ship that's not anchored down. A ship has to have an anchor if it's going to remain stationary. A ship without an anchor will drift away. If you don't pay close attention to what you hear, hallelujah, with an intent to doing it, you will drift away. Amen. Things come, drift you, cause you to drift. Distractions come, cause you to drift. You lose your your temper, you drift away. You get mad with people over the smallest things and over the slightest affairs and over the minute stuff. The little foxes spoil the vine. The little stuff. And next thing you know, you're drifting. Drifting away. Why do people drift away? Because they don't have an anchor. Glory to God. You don't have an anchor. It's all right to have problems. It's okay to falter. Those things happen because we're human. But they happen worse when you don't have an anchor. Those situations will cause you to be pushed out to sea. Push you. You know how it is when you get pushed. Some of us don't even take a push. Sometimes it's just a little snub. And we're away from the things of God. We get pushed. We get pushed by attitudes. And we get pushed because somebody else has favor and we don't have it. We get pushed when we look at other people having things that we should think we should have. We get pushed. And the next thing you know, you're drifting away. You hear somebody say something to somebody else and you thought it was meant for you, but it wasn't meant for you. Get pushed aside. You come in and you hear the word of God, and as soon as you walk out of the church and out of the house of God, your intention is not how well that word will be manifested in your life. It's just what is the next thing that you have to do. You get pushed. A little shove. Oh, we get drifting away over the slightest things. I don't like the way he said that. I sure hope Pastor won't talking to me. See? I sure be glad when Pastor get through Book of Revelation. He ought to be preaching something else by now. Every time I come to church, Book of Revelation, Book of Revelation. Drifting further and further away. Got to have an anchor. Let's see what Hebrews says about that. You see? Because, you know, you got to pay much closer attention to what you've heard, lest you drift away. We must make sure that we're not drifting. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6. Let's look in verse 18. Okay. Hebrews 6, verse 18, 19. I got to go in my personal Bible. Every now and then I get an interruption. But I don't care. I'm not going to be distracted. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. Let's start in 16. Men swear by someone greater than themselves. Hallelujah. And the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. he has become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hope, Greek word is elpis. Hope is our anchor. See, if you don't have a hope, even while we sit here every Sunday, every Wednesday, we should sit here with hope.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hmm? We should sit here with hope and expectation.
Yes. That's
true. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Yes. How can you be saved and not have an excitement in your life?
Amen.
That's a good question. When you understand salvation and what Jesus Christ has done, he purged sin from us. He took sin. And he did it by a system called purification. How he has made me who I never was. He's made me brand new. And the working process is continual. He will be working a new thing in me until the day I stand on the new earth. His process is never ending. He has begun an eternal work on the inside of me. It may take longer than somebody else, but only because I may be hard-headed in a few areas. And so he has to take me to the woodshed every now and then just to break me in to let me know who the boss is. Sometimes we forget who the boss is. We forget that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we'll look at what he has accomplished and won't take it serious. And so when we do that, we forget that our hope, glory to God, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope. He is the hope of glory on the inside. And so when we don't have an anchor, it's simply because we don't have hope. Hope is our anchor. Should there be an expectation when we come to the house of God? Should be an excitement. Should be an expectation. See, let me tell you this. Expectation in the body of Christ is the fertile ground for the miraculous, miracle-working power of God. That's what expectation is. It's fertile ground for the miracle working, miraculous power of God functioning in the body. We need to see some miracles, but we can't see them without a high expectation of who we're coming to worship.
Amen.
I expect God to do this. I'm excited about it. I say it all the time. You never know. This might be the day. This might be the day. This thing I've been asking God for, this might be the day.
Yes.
I've been asking for somebody else.
Yes.
This might be the day.
Yes, yes, Pastor.
That's when the excitement begins to bubble over in the ministry.
Yes.
When we come in and we're excited. Let me say this. See, when you come to church, come with your notebook.
Yes.
Come with your pencil and your paper. And you need to annotate that. Don't guess what I'm saying. I might say something wrong. Write it down. If Pastor said it wrong, write it down and call me. Get Pastor straight. Pastor, that wasn't right. I don't think that was right, Pastor. I'm not above that. I'll take your criticism, but you better be good. Isn't that fair? See, we got to, you got to bring in your Bible. Stop coming to church without your Bible. That's another religion that doesn't require you to look at what's being said. Don't do that. And then another thing you got to learn how to do is stop folding your arms and chewing bubble gum. That don't look good to a pastor. See, I'm looking, but I'm not staring. I'm looking at him, but I'm not staring. I get a chance to glance. And I said to myself, isn't that nothing but disrespect? See, you got to be disrespecting what God is doing, because even in school, they don't allow that. And if they don't allow it in your school, why do you do it on holy ground? It's because you don't recognize holy ground. It's to you, it's just a church. It's just a bunch of people getting together. That's all. See? When you come in the building, you ought to take the first step to the garbage can. Put that gum in the trash. Make sure you got your Bible, your pencil, your notebook. I need to take some notes. Because, see, especially if you got issues every day. I got an issue I'm dealing with. I need to take note from God. What I need to do, because he just might speak on my issue. When you come with expectation, God normally will speak on your situation. And sometimes you'll leave the service and you'll say, but the pastor was talking directly to me. He didn't know about my situation. See, when you come with expectation and the excitement, most often God will speak right to you. He doesn't want you to go home the same way you came in. That's what God wants to do. We got to move past the place of coming and going to church out of habit, or just going to church out of habit, or going through the motions. You must come expecting, rejoicing, anticipating. You must come ready to grow. Isn't that good? I come to church to grow. That's what I'm here for. I'm ready to go another notch. See, it's when we get to that place where we think that there's nothing more we can learn. There's no more. I can't grow anymore. I'm at the place where I don't need to grow anymore. I'm really adept at this. Adept, whatever you want to call it. But if you are sure of where you are in Christ, you'll know without a shadow of a doubt. You got a long way to go. Amen. I got a long way to go. I tell you guys all the time, the more I read, the more I find I don't know. I don't think I'm too smart when I read the Bible. Always ready to learn. There's something that you sought the answer for maybe a couple of years ago. God will finally open it up to you. See, let's stop all that trouble. Let's stop all that struggle. And see, what we must understand is that we can do away with a lot of our faith struggles when we do it as the Word says do it. We're all going to have struggles in our faith. But the thing is, you can struggle without an anchor, or you can struggle with one. And it's a lot better when you have a faith struggle with an anchor. Because when you struggle in a faith area with an anchor, you know that there's closure. There's going to be closure to this. I know this. People say trouble don't last always. See, you'll take on that attitude and you'll begin to understand that this thing I'm going through is not going to last. Hallelujah. And then you just begin to look at the things you've been through already. I went through something similar to that, so I know how to behave this time around. That's the way God is. 90% of our life is how we respond. 90%. How we respond to the things that come our way. 90% of the response of how we respond to the Word of God, how we respond to people. Because I find that when you respond correctly to the Word, you have no problem responding to people. If you make the corrections, the Word of God is built for you to respond to it. Faith without works is dead. Be ye hearers of the Word. Be ye doers and not hearers only. See, it's built for response. Built for response. I got to respond to this. Will a man rob God? Respond. Yeah. It's built for response. And how we respond to God will equip us on how we respond to any other area, any other situation, any other person, any other falter. I'm losing my job. But the Word of God said, my God shall supply all my needs. Yes, how am I going to respond? That's why we come in the house of God, so we can learn how to live this life the way God has called us to live it. You've never been a Christian before you became one. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. We don't know what God has in store. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. You're not even ready for it yet. You don't even know. Can't say amen to everything because amen means it's so. It's so. If you don't know it's so, why say amen? Priest, pastor. So, we got to get this thing right. We don't want church to become business as usual. That's why we're pausing today. We don't want church to become business as usual. We must come rejoicing. See, when you're rejoicing and you're anticipating God's doing something, man, he loves that. That's you haven't even seen the blessing yet.
Amen.
And you're rejoicing.
Yeah.
Rejoicing in advance.
Yes.
Huh? That's like a credit card.
Yeah.
I'm rejoicing in advance. I don't have the money, but I got this plastic. Hallelujah. I'm going to get that dress. Don't have a dime in my pocket, but I got this here. That's what rejoicing is. You rejoice before the blessing. I got my credit card of rejoicing. I'm going to rejoice in advance. Hallelujah. Because I believe that God will keep his word. He's not going to lie to me. He'll never lie to me. Never. He will never lie to me. So he gives me a credit card called rejoicing. Come rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Then that's what Paul told him. Paul told him on a sinking ship, pull your card out. Looking at me like that, pull your card out. Rejoice. See, you got to do it in advance. You don't program yourself simply because you come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. Don't program yourself to doing that. Come with expectation. Come with anticipation. Come with rejoicing. Come saying, hallelujah, I'm going to Bible study. I'm going to Sunday service. I'm going to have a good time. See? That does more for you than what you can imagine because you have the Holy Spirit working with you, equipping you to do these things. Now, you're going to falter sometime in your faith. You're going to struggle. That happens. But it's good to have something on the side knowing that even though I'm struggling, I know God got me. God got me. I know he does. I got an anchor. Hallelujah. I got an anchor. Glory to God. Now, this is a reason to pause from Revelation 7. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and 3. Pay attention to these words. A lot of times when we're, see what happens when you are drifting away will eventually become denying. Amen. You drift, you deny.
Amen.
Is everything all right? And you know it's something wrong. No, I'm doing good. Why are you drifting away? Oh, not drifting. Why are you denying? Drifting becomes denying. You still have a Christian faith. I say church face. You still have that church face in spite of people haven't seen you. Where you been? Oh, working. All the time? Well, most of the time. See, the thing about drifting away is when you drift away a little, it becomes a lot. If you don't take care of it, you'll drift a lot. You'll end up being places where this is not where I was destined to be. It's just a place I drifted to. Oh, Jesus. It becomes a place you drifted to. When you're not doing what you should be doing, you drift in all kinds of places. You drift to another church. I done said a mouthful then. You'll drift right to another church. You had no intentions of going there, but because you're drifting, you had no other recourse. You just drift right there. Then you find out that that's not the place. That's not the place where you should be. Then you end up drifting somewhere else. And then somehow you just drift right back to where you were. Right back at the landing, dog. You still don't have an anchor. So the possibilities of you drifting away have become even more apparent. Now, you can just do it anytime now because there's no anchor, no hope drifting away. Hebrews 2 and 3 says this, how shall we escape?
Look out.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How many of us know how great salvation is? We need to dig into that and find. See, you need to find out what you got. What is it that I have? I've been saved. See, and you need to, what have I been saved from? The number one thing is that he saves you from you. Lord, that need to be a hallelujah. He saved you from you. Don't worry about the people across the street and folk on your job. The main objective is that I save you from yourself. It wasn't the people across the street that were hurting me. It wasn't my job that was hurting me. It was me. I was hurting myself, living foolishly, no direction, just coming and going as just like a ship drifting. Didn't have anything. But he saves me from me, and that's a great task. God does the magnificent when he delivers you from you. When he opens your eyes and causes you to see beyond yourself. It was beyond me. And he opens the blinders and takes them off your eyes and allows you to see that you didn't do any of this by yourself. You didn't accomplish this because of who you are. Or because you're good at something. No, you weren't that good. None of us are. We're not good enough to get out of sin by ourselves. No. You cannot take away an unclouded day. Not by yourself. I mean, the sun is shining and you in the house under a cloud. Scared to go outside because you don't want the world that you will have to face to see you come out. See how we get like that sometimes. Yeah. Sun shining bright. It's a bright day. It's a beautiful day. And yet we're followed by a cloud. Yes. Our life. I don't know if it's a cloud of deception. I don't know if it's a cloud of dishonesty. I don't know if it's a cloud of shame. I don't know. But that cloud seems to mess up our whole day. Our beautiful day going to waste. Because we don't understand. So great salvation. He said, now listen to what he said. He said, don't neglect it. I like the way he put that. He didn't say reject. He said neglect. That means you have options. That means that you have the will to choose. You can choose to not honor this salvation. Respect it. Be concerned about your personal life and what Christ has accomplished at the cross. I don't care. I'm just saved. Man, that's not enough. It's not enough. If that's the case, God will save all of us and let us all go to heaven. You're saved, get out of here. Because with that mentality, you don't have any intention of doing anything. I don't plan on doing that. I don't plan on reaching out. I don't plan on telling nobody about you, Jesus. I just want to be saved, and I just want to get. The scripture says, how shall we escape? How shall you escape tribulation? By not knowing how great a salvation God has wrought in this world. How are you going to escape if you neglect it? Wow. Not reject it, neglect it. Hallelujah. Anybody know what neglect is? Yeah. I heard the term child neglect. You know of child neglect when you take a child, put her in the car, and you go to Walmart, and it's 110 degrees. Yeah. You leave a child sitting in the car with the windows cracked. Yeah. Yeah. That's neglect. You want to go to a bar so bad You got to go to the bar. Got to go meet this guy. Yeah. That you'll take a baby, put it in the car, and take her to the club with you. Just to meet somebody while the child is out in the car and you sitting at the bar getting drunk behind a guy while the baby's in the car suffering. Mm-hmm. That's neglect. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have to be a child. It can be a dog. Mm-hmm. Take a dog out. Ride him around in the car. 110 degrees outside and you roll all the windows up while you go to Walmart and the lines are stacked. Mm-hmm. When you come back out, that's neglect. House gathering moss, greenery. Side of your house looking like a forest. You don't even care. You too busy to go out there and weed whack. You too busy to go out there and cut down weeds. You too busy to go out there. Can't even take a water hose and spray it on the side and get rid of that green moss. That is neglect. It's not lazy. It's neglect. How shall we neglect so great salvation? When we come in church and we chew bubblegum across our arms, we don't take notes, we don't read our Bible, we just sit down. How can you neglect so great salvation? I'm pretty sure if Jesus came here today, he'll walk down this aisle, he'll look to see who reading the word. He'll just look down the aisles. Because he knows how important the word is. He'll look down the aisles and he'll wonder, what is going on? Amen. Huh? Let's continue on, because I don't want this pause between Revelation 6 and 7 to seem to you that it's unnecessary. I want you to get as much as you can. There's a growth process that should be occurring in our lives each and every time we read, hear, and obey the word. We should be moving in the direction of maturity. That's where we should be moving. We should be growing up. Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. We should be growing up. That's what it's all about. You come in the church and people say, why you go to church? I go to church to grow up. That's why I go. I go to church to mature as a believer. See, stop trying to think you can get this on your own. Don't think that you can get this on your own. You can't. God has stipulations. He has a place in the word where he tells us to forsake not the fellowshipping of one another.
Amen, Pastor.
Yes, he does.
He tells us that there's strength in the numbers that we gather together, that we come together and our faith begins to become one faith and our voices become one voice and our faith becomes one faith. When we come together in a body of unity.
Yes.
That's what his plan is. And when we're not fulfilling his plan, we don't see the things that we ought to be seeing as the body of Christ. It wouldn't be right if just one person in the body just received all the blessing, all the miracles, all the signs. All the wonders. Well, there go Brother Joe. He blessed again. Brother Joe got another miracle. Brother Joe got another sign. Look at Brother Joe. He got signs and wonders following him. Well, it's not supposed to be just Brother Joe. It's supposed to be Brother Joe, Sister Joanne, Brother Jack, Sister Jackie, Brother Jake, Sister Jaquina. It's supposed to be like that. The ministry is supposed to be like that. I'm supposed to be rejoicing in your blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Even if mine hadn't showed up yet, I am rejoicing because you got yours. I'm glad because I know if you got yours, God is moving in a circle in here. And I know if he didn't been there, he's going to have to come back around this way. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that's how it's supposed to work.
Amen.
Next thing you notice that the congregation is getting healthy. Congregation getting stronger. Folk getting stronger. Folk looking younger. Got more vitality. Ready to do things that God wants us to do. Reaching out. Blessing the homeless and touching the lost. That's what the body of Christ is all about. We are in this together. I have a wonderful idea. And I was telling my wife, I don't know if she shared this with you guys or not, but what we're going to do, we're going to go into an inner city somewhere, and we're going to take them folks jump ropes and hula hoops
and a hot dog
and grill hot dogs and just let them go for it.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Amen.
Why not?
Do you think they won't be glad? To somebody come out and give them something free? They don't have to do nothing to get this.
Hallelujah.
Come get the hula hoops. Come get the jump ropes. Come get the hot dogs. Come get the hamburgers. Y'all just had the time of your life. God put man on this planet to influence and encourage another man.
Amen.
That's why he put us here.
Amen.
So we strengthen, encourage, build up one another.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. Touch lives. Cause the domino effect. Nothing would make my heart any gladder than to go into a neighborhood and when we leave out, everybody excited.
Yeah.
When y'all coming back? Soon as we can. Take the word of God with us. See? Go out there and share Jesus. You'd be surprised how many people you can win behind a hula hoop. Yeah. Yeah. God can do that. And so, we must understand that we're moving to maturity. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. See, we have much to do with the growth process. The more we avail ourselves to the word of God and his desires for us, the stronger our foundation becomes. See, our foundation becomes stronger. He says, now, what do you do to establish this strong foundation? Hearing the word and doing it. Isn't this what he said? He said, if you hear it, you establish a stronger foundation. A stronger foundation for your life. Now you already got hope, which is your anchor. Now how about the ground that you're standing on? I'm standing strong. I'm standing tall. Because I have a strong foundation. I'm not worried about slipping. I'm not worried about falling. I'm not even worried about backsliding. I have a strong foundation. Hope and a foundation. Jesus said, those who hear my word and do it, establish a strong foundation for themselves. And though the winds blow and the waters rise and though the storms come, your house will still stand in spite of it.
Yes.
You're standing in the midst of a storm. I don't believe Jesus put on earth, not to go through a storm. He showed that to the disciples. Following me and I'm going to show you what you're going through. Let's go over to the other side. Jesus knew the storm was going to be there. He just said, let's go on over this. I'm going to see what you're made out of. You're following me, asking me for bread. You're always talking about eating. You're always talking about who's going to get in first place. Let's go cross the lake.
Yes, sir.
Let me see what you made out of.
Amen.
The storm establishes the foundation of who you really are.
Amen.
If you don't go through nothing, how are you going to know what you're worth?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. A storm will strengthen your foundation.
Yes, sir.
You got to learn how to dig deep and hold on tight. So the winds blow a little harder than they did the last time. You got to dig in deeper. You got to say, let the hellhounds come. Let the winds blow. I'm going to still stand. They tell you, you can't say that in here. You can't use Jesus' name in here. That ain't nothing but a storm. That's winds blowing. No, you can't tell me what to say. This is a free country. I got freedom of speech. If I want to say Jesus,
yes, sir.
I'm going to say Jesus. You got folk out there saying everything they want to say, using four-letter words and using loose profanity, and nobody says a word, and And you mean to tell me you're going to blow a wind at me and tell me don't say Jesus? I'm standing, I'm digging deeper.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
You tell me not to say Jesus, you better watch out. I'm about to say the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm about to say the Father, Jesus. Almighty God. We'll slap your mouth if you say Jesus. They're going to slap my mouth if I say Jesus. I'm going to have to say it. Jesus' name. See, we got to stand. So we establish this foundation. You got to have a foundation. Make sure you got one. You see? Just like I said earlier, you know, you can have times to struggle. But you never allow your struggle or the winds blow to cause you drift away. Don't never allow them to cause you to drift away. We may pause like we're doing today. But glory to God, it won't cause me to drift.
Yes.
See, when you pause, it's just a momentary hesitation. That's a pause. I'm stopping for a minute. I'm not parking here. I'm just stopping for a minute. See, you can't allow a situation to come up and cause you to drift away just because they think you're pausing. I'm only pausing to concentrate right now. I'm trying to get myself together. I'm trying to discern this wind. I'm trying to discern this waves and to discern this trouble I'm going through. Is God behind this? Or is this an attack of the enemy? Sometimes you got to pause. You got to stop for a moment. Slow down and get yourself together. You might have to adjust your armor. Glory to God. Sometimes you might have to stop just to adjust your armor. I got to get my helmet right. I got to make sure the breastplate of righteousness is on the way it's supposed to be. That I am telling the truth. That my feet are shod with the gospel of the preparation. I just got to check myself. So I got to pause for a moment.
Hallelujah.
I'm just pausing for a moment. Don't think that I'm stopping. I'm just pausing.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Just because I'm pausing don't mean I'm leaving the church. No, I'm not leaving the church. I'm not leaving. Mm-hmm. Now, lastly, you know, this is what I want to show you lastly. We must be determined on what type of Christian soul we strive to be. What are you trying to be while we're in this church? What are your desires while you're sitting in here listening to the Word of God? Are you determining? Yeah, I like that. You know what? We were talking about taking notes today, and Pastor Minor, God bless his heart, he put something in your bulletin where you can take notes. I'm so sorry. I should have told you earlier. You could have did your topic, and you could have did what you heard. You could have, and then you can go home and say, well, this is what I need to work on. But if you go home empty-handed. See, let me explain this to you. Whether you know it or not, it's hard to retain spiritual words.
Yes.
You have to write them down.
Yes.
They don't stay in your mind like a cuss word. Some of us need to walk out here just like this with the bulletin. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, the spiritual words, they don't stay in your mind. They stay in your heart. See? Cuss words stay in your mind. And then they go down in your heart. See? And out of the abundance of the heart. See? And so, I thought that was just a wonderful thing that Pastor Minor put these in the bulletin. Are these going to be here often? You're going to do this? Now, everybody has something that they can do in the bulletin every week. Take notes, the topic, write the scripture down, and then place to go home and read it. I thought that was just a blessing. Hallelujah. A blessing. Now, Mark chapter 4. And we're going to end it. Yeah, we're going to bring it to a close, maybe with a few more statements, but not many. Mark chapter 4. We must be determined to be a soil that Christ can sow into. That's what we're striving to be. Hallelujah. Listen in verse 9 first, what Jesus said. This is at the end of his statement. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's go to verse 14. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries or the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth or riches, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Wow. Look at the benefits of being good soil. See, the word is being sown every time we come in here. Sowing the word. And our concern is not how good the soil is or how fertile or how stony. Our job is just to sow it.
That's right.
See, you have a part to play. We have a part to play. See, you have to make sure that you are first receivable. Our job is just to put it out there. Now, if you know that you're a good soul, then I know that you know that you're going to receive it. And not only are you going to receive it, you're going to go home and research it. You're going to read over it. And you're going to try to implement it in your life. That's good soul. And because you are making a conscientious effort to make sure that this received word, is operable in your life, what you're going to do is bear fruit. I have gotten calls from people who hear the word and they say, Pastor, I heard that word and guess what happened to me today? I was blessed by it because I stayed on that word. And this happened on my job. Yeah. Bam. See, they received it. Amen. See, when you receive the word and with the intention of doing the word, God is going to honor his word. Yes. His word will not return to him void. Yes. It will accomplish in the place where he sent it. And so, do you want to be good soul? Because some of us are caught up in with the cares of this world. Yes. You know, you hear the word and then a care of the world come. Some situation outside of the church distracts you. And what that distraction does, it chokes the word out of you. You can't remember what was said. Because the cares of the world, the worries, came and choked that word out of you. And you can't even remember what was said Sunday. And here it is just Sunday night. Some of us receive the word with joy, we have no intention of doing it. The joy doesn't last long. Amen. Satan comes immediately. Yeah. Make sure you don't get a hold of it. He doesn't want the word in you to take root. See, if it don't take root, then it's no good to you. And so you rejoice for a minute, and then once you get out the house of God, you're into something else, and so it doesn't take deep root. The enemy comes and take that which you do have. He'll take that away. Sometimes it's sown on stony ground. Have you got a hard heart against somebody? You got some people that you need to forgive? You got some issues that you need to repent over? You need to ask God to forgive you? That soften your heart a little bit. See, it doesn't make any difference how much you show up in the house if you have these issues. You're carrying them everywhere you go. And so when the word comes, the word doesn't take deep root because your heart too hard.
Yes.
I have a hard heart and I hear the word, but it won't go in me.
Yeah.
I need it to go deep on the inside, but my heart is hard, so the word doesn't go inside me. So what we're basically saying is you have just surface thrills. You just feel good while you're here. You know the word is talking to you. But your heart is so hard that when you get out the door, you don't have any of it. But boy, if you're good soul, you take that word and walk with it. Some of you might want to run with it. You know that it's on the inside. You want to go tell somebody, oh, taste it. See that the Lord is good. You might even get on some folk nerve because you're doing so well. You know, because people that ain't doing well don't want to talk to people who are doing good. People who dishonoring the word don't want to talk to people who honor it. People who receiving the word and doing something with it, they got a way about them that make the people who reading the word and ain't getting nothing out of it, not doing anything about it, make you get on my nerve. They want to know why is it working for you and not working for them. But we all have a part to play in this. This word is for all of us. All we have to do is open our hearts and say, Lord, this is what I want to do, what you're commanding me to do. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to live a full Christian life. That's what it's all about. That's why we had to pause today. I just want to make sure, the Holy Spirit wanted to check in and make sure that we're all on one accord. That we're not just hearing something and becoming familiar. And just being familiar in the house. Hallelujah. You had to determine what kind of soul you're going to be. And so we're going to close with this. Hebrews 6 and 1. Hebrews 6 and 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is this all right? Hallelujah. 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 Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. That's all we need. Leave the elementary teachings. There are certain things you know about Christ that you've been knowing since you, probably before you were saved. But there are things that have happened since you've been saved. You've learned about baptism. You learned about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are certain issues that were so important. You heard them, but they were never applied. But there are some things that you ought to know by now as growing, maturing Christians that have become somewhat elementary to you. You'll say, I know that. Okay, let's know that, but let's go forward. That's what he's saying. Let's go forward. Let's not go backwards. Let's become mature. You know what maturity